Today, I want to do something. I want to call this the Day of Honour. And before the day is out, we are going to honour some people in our church. They don't know who they are at this time, so you can relax. It's not that we want to pick some people over other people, but sometimes it's good just to acknowledge where people are doing great things. But talking about honour with you, I just feel that we need to be a people who know how to honour. Trouble sometimes with Australians, and I certainly include myself in this category, is that we have this tall poppy syndrome where we pull down people rather than lifting them up. But if we will develop a heart of honour, we receive the blessing from that, and I'll go through Scripture and show you that this morning. And so it's important, I feel, that starting from a church perspective, we honour, and the honour flows where it needs to flow. And so bear with me this morning. I'll share some things with you. I hope that will encourage you. I want to just say this. I honour all of you for being here this morning. You come and you've honoured God by being present in this service. And I want to tell you something. God will bless you for that. You can carry that blessing with you throughout this coming week and beyond. I like to scan through YouTube occasionally because there's a lot of interesting information in there. And so, there's heaps of stuff and you just pass over it. I love researching cars. That's one of my little passions when I'm looking at YouTube. But I came across the other day and it just sort of was a surprise it turned up. It was the Israel National Anthem. And I suppose it was put in there because of the war between Iran and Israel. Israel has they passed 10 million people last year in the size of their population. Iran has 90 million people. So it's a bit of a David and Goliath occasion with them going head to head like that. But let's not get into that this morning. But in the Israeli National Anthem, so I thought I'll listen to that. Of course, it was sung in Hebrew and they had the words, the English words across the bottom. And boy, it was passionate. And of course, they mentioned the name of God about their land, God preserving them in their land, giving them their land, and so on. I thought, that's great. And then there was a few other anthems. New Zealand National Anthem. I happen to like the New Zealand National Anthem. I think it's inspiring. And then they end with the words, God defend New Zealand. And then, of course, you may know the US National Anthem, the Star Spangled Banner. And I think we're going to put it up there for you, but just the last part of that says, and this be our motto, in God is our trust. And the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. Inspiring stuff. And then I think of the Australian National Anthem. And I think that needs some work. When it was originally written, it actually included some reference to God. But I had a look online this morning. What are the actual words? There's two verses that they put in the anthem. No mention of God. When we sing it in our school, we have a second verse that is from the original, which talks about God. And really what I'm saying is we don't honour God in our national anthem. New Zealand mentions God. Obviously, the Israelis mention God and the US mentions God, and there's probably a lot of other nations that include God. I mean, even the British National Anthem, God Save Our Gracious Queen, at least they put the name of God there to acknowledge that. And I think that's a shame for our country. But however, let's not dwell on that. I think that there's a culture in Australia that is unfortunately people are pulled down, honours are downplayed. I know we have the Australia Day honours and the King's Birthday Day honours, and I think that's good that people are recognised. But I want to ask, where's the honour in our country? Well, that's all very well to ask that question, but I need to start. It needs to start with me. I need to honour, and you need to honour. And I want to do that this morning and talk to you about getting involved in honour. Of course, in Australia, we really honour our sports people, don't we? Yeah, we do. Whether it's the Olympics or general sports played week by week. One of the things I noticed being in the US, I think it started in Australia now, but they have group numbers for boarding planes. And so, you know, if you're group number one, you get to go on first, group number two goes next, group number three, and so on. And in the US, group number one usually includes the US servicemen, the active servicemen. And they always make this declaration, thank you for your service. Now, I know it can sound trite, and meaningless. But I think it's an honouring of men who served in the Army and the Air Force at that time. And of course, previous servicemen, they make that declaration about as well. Plus, they honour the elderly, of which, you know, I sort of have squeaked into that category just by a short amount. And but group number one, servicemen, older people, they honour them. Well, of course, you pardon this expression, in Australia, older people are invisible, as happens in society. In Japan and Asia, they value older people and they honour them in that role. So I'm just pointing a few things out here. I'm not trying to really tear our country down. I think it's a great country. I love coming back to Australia when I've been overseas. It's just so great to be here. So let's moving on. Why should we honour? Because God calls us to do that. The word honour really means to value something. And so when we value it, we are honouring it. In Deuteronomy 5, verse 16, it says, honour your father and mother as the Lord your God has commanded. Notice that, it's a command. That your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Here is the promise of God. Here is a command of God for honour to be given. And what happens? You secure in the place that God takes you to and it's well with you. It's a promise that we can lay hold of. And so it starts with the family. Honour has to start in the family. And I want to encourage parents, teach your children how to honour. I certainly am in this category, but you know, sometimes where kids backchat their mother or rude to their mum, and they just didn't know Dad was standing right behind them. And I don't have to tell you what happens next, but fathers teach their sons and daughters to honour their mother. And that's a good thing. I'm glad my dad taught me at an early age and I carried that throughout life in that. And if you haven't experienced that, I'll tell you all about it sometimes. But if it starts in home, it can flow on from there. We can encourage our children to honour because it's important. The reason we do it, it's like forgiveness. God says forgive. Jesus says to love your enemies when we'd like to throttle them. Jesus said to pray for those and bless those who use you badly. Why? It's not because of them, it's because of us. When we do that, we receive the blessing of God, the precious things that God imparts into our heart. So that's a promise. Then Matthew 15 verse 4, which is somewhat along the same line, for God commanded, Jesus speaking, honour your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. So they are saying right from the very beginning in the family, if there's issues there of dishonour, the child is put to death. Why? Because God wants to stamp out dishonour. It's so easy to dishonour. But when we dishonour, we lose. We think we're putting someone else down, but really we're taking something out of our own life at the same time. Matthew 10 verse 41 says, he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. What does that mean to us? It simply means this, that when we honour somebody with the gifting that they have, we receive the blessing of that gifting. We honour a righteous man, we receive the reward of the righteous man. Our righteous man is Jesus Christ. When we honour Jesus, we receive the reward that he brings. It's more than just making a prayer and asking for forgiveness of sin and Jesus to become our Saviour. It's the ongoing honouring of Jesus Christ as our Saviour. And as we do that, we receive the blessing and flow. When Jesus died, it was a holistic death. He dealt with everything, not just our need for our forgiveness of sin and relationship with God, but he dealt with our health, he dealt with our well-being, he dealt with our provision, protection, prosperity, all of those things. And as we honour him in those things, we receive it. Isaiah 53 verse 1 says, who's believed our report and to whom is the arm of the Lord made bare? What that simply means, when we believe God's provision, we receive it. When we don't receive it. And so the same thing comes back to honour. So where there's honour, there is blessing. And God blesses because he said to honour, if we do it, he blesses us. It's even true in the natural realm. So we receive the good that comes from a person if we honour them. God has appointed people in our lives to bring blessing into our life, and when we show honour, then we receive the gifting that person has brought. So honour and respect can be a little bit aligned together. But let's think about some people. You know, when we dishonour our boss by talking about him behind his back. Look, the boss may not be a nice person. He may not be a moral person. He may have a mouth like a sewer pit, you know, and you might think you're getting a hard deal. But let me tell you this, if you honour him, God can move. When you dishonour him, God can't move. And by saying honouring, I'm not meaning, you know, saying he's a great bloke and all of that. But you don't gossip. You don't backstab. You don't carry on talking about the boss as being such an unpleasant, unreasonable person. I'll tell you something I've learned in life. God puts you in situations to develop something in you. And when we run from that situation, he's got to open another door to put us in the same situation again, might be slightly varied, so he can get to us and to help us to change. Because he doesn't want to leave us like he found us. He wants to build something, and he wants to build our character. He wants to build the person that we are. And so honour where God puts you. That doesn't mean you praise bad things. So, you know, if your boss does something really bad, you don't... That was a really good thing you did, boss, you know, running over that pedestrian. No, that's not how it works. But we still honour the person. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I think the same thing is true of teachers in our school. One of the losses we've had in education, I feel, is the loss of respect for our teachers, the honour that we need to give our teachers. And part of that comes back to, and some of you will not agree with me, but part of that comes back to you, when we stopped caning in schools, educational standards plummeted and respect for teachers plummeted. So I've said it before, I've had the cane at school and I believe that was good for me. And in those days, if you got the cane at school, you didn't go home and tell Dad about it because he might feel that some added instruction was necessary. So you kept quiet. And it was sort of a badge of honour to have a caning in school. But it taught me something, respect for my teachers. And some of my teachers were absolute turkeys. I mean, they were terrible people. But, you know, hey, I just want to say I honour them. Wash my mouth out. Okay. What about honouring your spouse? There's a lot of people who, and I'll talk more about this later, but and your neighbour. Don't run around your neighbourhood saying, oh, they're such a lousy neighbour. You know, they start the lawnmower at 6 a.m. and care. No, honour people. Note, when we honour the role that people have, we receive from that. And so let me extend it a little bit. I've seen a lot of prime ministers come and go over the years, and not all of them I would have said I respect or I think they're doing a good job. But I will honour the role that they have, a prime minister, and acknowledge that. And so while I might say I don't think they're doing a good job, I'm still going to honour the role that they have. Do you understand what I'm trying to convey there? So when our honour is evident, not only is God's blessing there, but there will be harmony, encouragement and sort of love involved in the process. In Psalm 133, verse 1, it says that how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And then at the end of that psalm, it's a short psalm, it says, and there the God commands the blessing and life forevermore. And so how do we develop the unity? It's by honouring that we do that. We honour one another. We live in that place of honour, and God says, I'm going to bless that and bring the community. So let's talk about who we should honour. Firstly, we should honour God. The worst dishonouring of God is rejection of his love and salvation. But the reverse is true. When we honour God, we receive that. Can I just say this? There are many people bound by Islam in the world, Muslims, and they're, most of them, sincere people, believing in their God and their way of acknowledging him. The word Islam means submission, so it's different to how we understand Christianity and the love of God. And so they honour their God and they don't honour our God. Now, if I could just extend that, and I've mentioned it before, Muslims believe Jesus Christ was a prophet and a good man, and they don't knock that. But they don't honour him as God, and therefore they don't receive the blessing that God would bring them if they did. The good news is there are millions of Muslims turning to Christ. We don't hear about it so much, but throughout our world it's happening, and I think that's exciting. And obviously you get a Muslim who's been totally devoted to his religion and he becomes a Christian, boy, you've got somebody raring to go there. They've found the love of God. They've experienced it. They know how to honour God, their God, and now they know how to honour our God, and we can certainly learn from that. So first thing is God. The second thing is parents. Deuteronomy 5:16, which we read earlier, was really saying that we should honour our parents so that God brings the blessing on us. It's well for us. You might say, you don't know who my mum or dad was. They weren't a good person. Maybe they abused you. I understand that, and that makes it very hard to respect them. It makes it very hard to love them. But I think when God says honour, we honour those who've been part of our life. And in that honouring, we allow God to work something in us that builds us as people. You see, the kingdom of God is not like the kingdom of man. It works in different ways. And if we will follow God's ways, we will see the life and blessing that God brings. In the scripture in 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, honour all people. That's a challenge. Honour all people. Why? Because we are created in the image of God. That means whether they're Muslims, whether they're non-Christian, whatever they might be, created in the image of God, we need to honour people. And I don't think you can really reach people with the truth and the love of God unless you honour them. If you treat them like losers and you know, whatever, then they can't receive what you want to share with them. But if you'll honour them, they will. And then he says, love the brotherhood. What's the brotherhood? All Christians. We honour Christians. We love and relate to Christians. And then he says, fear God. Well, honour God. And then honour the king. Well, that's more than King Charles that he's talking about. That's any form of governmental relationship in our lives. And so that can be the federal government, the state government, the local council. But it comes even down to the realm of parents. They're the king in our lives, if you like. It's any authority that's now, even in the church, the authority that's there. If you honour that, you receive the blessing of that. Just as you receive a prophet, you receive the prophet's reward. Then 1 Timothy 5:17 says, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honour, especially those who labour in the word and doctrine. So the honour that belongs unto those who minister the word is part of the kingdom of God. Romans 13:17, render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honour to whom honour. So we honour those who deserve the honour. Matthew 10:41, we read this before, it says, receiving the prophet, the name of the prophet. If we will receive that in honour, we will receive the gifting that God brings with that. When we don't honour it, we don't receive what God wants to impart to our lives. And so I'm challenging you today, think about honouring and speaking honourable words about people rather than negative, critical, whatever it might be. When we do that, we tear ourselves down. We might complain about somebody, but we're just pulling ourselves down. Honour them. Speak positive words. And if somebody's not doing the right thing, well, pray for them. God bless their life, strengthen them, bring them hope, bring them truth, bring them the life in Jesus Christ. Okay, and then next one is honour your spouse. Quiet out there. Have you heard the Cockneys, I think, invented in England, rhyming slang? So things like tin lids, kids, battle and strife, wife, cheese and fishes, missus, bag of fruit, suit. You understand what I'm saying? Called rhyming slang. The trouble with that is if you talk about battle and strife, meaning your wife, that doesn't sound very positive. It doesn't sound very honourable. And so we need to think about how we speak about our wives, men and wives, how you speak about your husband. We need to honour them. And if you are struggling in your marriage, then maybe you need to honour one another. And in the honouring of one another, you lift each other up, you speak positive words, you encourage, and you receive the blessing that God intends for marriage. And you can walk in that, live in that, love in that, and it's a great thing. Then I want to say, honour yourself. This is not about narcissism or egocentricity. This is about recognising I've been made in the image of God. And therefore, if God thought enough to make me in his image, I need to honour what God has created. Therefore, honour yourself. Honour yourself doesn't mean I'm so great, look at me, I'm wonderful. No, it doesn't mean that at all. It simply means, God, I thank you that you have created me, that you love me enough to relate to me, you know, so I can honour myself. I know that sounds strange, but I believe that's in God. We're supposed to honour. So Jesus said, you know, love God, love people, and love yourself. I would think the hardest thing to do is not to love God. That's easy. Loving people, I can do that. But loving myself, I've always seen that as a challenge because I know me. And that's the problem. And you know you, and that's your problem. But we've got to love ourselves. And if we make the choice to love ourselves, we can make the choice to honour ourselves as well. So I'm going to throw this one in at you. Some of you might not like this. But Genesis 12:3, it says, God speaking, I will bless those who bless you, talking to Abraham, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. I believe we need to honour Israel. They're God's chosen people. Now, I know there's a lot of issues relating to Israel and the Hebrews, and you might point out what's happening in Gaza and go on with things like that, but they're still God's chosen people. And I was listening to a preacher the other day. Somebody sent it to me on X, and he's saying, Israel is no longer God's chosen people. That's now the Christians. Israel moved on. In the New Testament, it's now the Christians. No, they're still God's chosen people. And if you wonder, think about this. A little nation of 10 million people is having to deal with being surrounded by all these people who want to exterminate Israel. And they're hanging in there. They're fighting the issues that come against them and the rockets that are fired from Yemen, from Iran, and they used to be from Gaza. They've gone in to sort that out. I'm not here to make a pronouncement about the way Israel is fighting its enemies right now, but I know this, God's got his hand on Israel. And in the last days, when this mighty army comes against Israel and Jesus comes back and he just destroys them by the brightness of his coming, the word of his mouth will go out there and 200 million people are exterminated in a moment. So that's God fighting for Israel. And you can go on YouTube. There's YouTube clips that say these are the miracles that God is fighting for Israel. And they actually list them out. And it goes back into the previous wars that they fought, 1967, 1948, and so on, when these neighbours came against them. So it's a miracle that Israel exists. And so I believe God wants us to honour Israel. The Bible says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And I think when God says that, we should listen and honour that. Then, of course, we need to honour the Word of God, which is the Bible, and by reading it and learning it. So can I just talk about how do we honour? We do it by choice. Like love, you've got to make a choice. Don't wait around to just get there. Say, I choose to honour. Then do something to explain that honour, to put that honour out there. One of the things, I know some of you will think this is overboard, but I happen to like the fact that in the US they have a pledge of allegiance to the flag, which is honouring their nation. And we don't do that. In fact, we've got three flags, so we'd be there a long time. But I like that. It's an honouring thing. You might say, oh, you know, Americans are a bit over the top. They can be. There, but I like some of the things they do, the traditions they have and the honours they have. And I really wish our country could rise up more. I'm thankful that we honour people on Anzac Day. That's a good thing. Australia Day has become confused and because there's some people on it, some don't. Okay, well, I'm nearing the end. Stick with me. Isaiah 29, verse 13. says, the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honour me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men. So we need to honour God, and in that we need to keep the relationship with God. We choose to love God. We choose to relate to him. Matthew 13:57. So they were offended at him. Offence is one of the most dangerous things. If you allow offence to work in your heart, you're going to lose a lot in your life and you're going to cause a lot of damage at the same time. But they were offended at Jesus. Mark chapter 6 says he couldn't do any mighty works in his own town except to heal a few little sick people because they were offended at him. He was the carpenter's son. They didn't see him as who he was, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Proverbs 3 verse 9 says that we honour the Lord with our possessions, with the first fruits of our increase. We honour God by giving. And there we're saying, God, we honour you as the one who's a provider, and we want to bless you with our increase. And then lastly, Leviticus 19:32 says, you shall rise before the grey-headed and honour the presence of an old man. That's me. And so here in the Bible says, you've got to honour me. Okay? You hear what I'm saying? We honour the experienced, the aged. Men, I want to say we honour women in this church. We had a great Mother's Day. We honoured women, and that's important. And we're setting an example, not only for our following generation, our sons, but for society at large. And I want to keep that happening and making that occur. So